And on the three verses, on that third verse, we'll dismiss the Sunday school. Those in the back, they're going to be going.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and dreary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very
as we sing this third song, the verse.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and
amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You ever have any burdens? we're in James, book of James, chapter 1, this morning. We're going to continue looking through what James has to say here. We're really dealing a lot with these, you know, of course the song talked about burdens, talking about trials and the situations, the temptations, things that God allows to come into our life. Let's follow with me there, James chapter 1, verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And then drop down to verse 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Father, we're thankful. Lord, thankful for your word. Thankful for this time that we might really examine these things in our own lives and see your purpose and your desire. Lord, pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us now in this hour. And we'll give you thanks. We'll praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we talked about in the past how the joy isn't actually the trial. Right? The joy isn't actually the trial, but rather the trial brings these things to our life. And what brings us joy is that we know God's doing something. Amen. So there's a couple things we find there. What it brings is this maturing. this perfecting. That's the one thing that God is doing through this thing. He's maturing us and perfecting us. And we find here there's a crown of life going to be coming at the end of this thing. Listen, we find here in this passage that these two words are used in explaining this situation. These two words, temptations and trials. These are the two kind of areas that God uses to do something in our life. And so the challenges of life, right, the burdens, right, some burdens in our life are pretty huge, right? Some burdens that come up in our life kind of completely consume us. You know what I'm saying? Usually, what are those kind of things? It's sickness, right? Will completely consume us. And my life can't think, if it's somebody in my family, somebody I love, somebody in our church, it can consume us, right? Into where our thoughts are all on. Sometimes it can be in the situation of a family member, a prodigal son, maybe, right? Or a relationship that can be, it can consume us to the point it's such a heavy burden that circumstance. But by the way, these burdens don't have to just be huge things, right? Sometimes it's smaller issues in our life, and we need not think that what we're talking about here, God only uses huge, life-altering things, right? Sometimes what He's using is a small thing in our life, and praise the Lord, when the more we've been living for Him, the big things become smaller, right? And the medium-sized things become tiny, right? And it becomes we become living in this life. It's less of a big burden. But there's these things. There's these challenges of life. There's the difficulties, the situations that come up. Sometimes it's just a situation where you have to make a decision, right? You have to make some decision on something, and it's do this thing or that thing. It's gonna make a difference in your life, and it's just it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just maybe it's a good opportunity. You know, maybe it's about expanding your business or getting involved in the community in some way or another. And it's should I do that? And there's a situation comes up and it begins all these things that come up. And you ever had something that I don't know? Some of us are different. You ever had something that's really not that big a deal, but it just overwhelmed you, you know? And then you try to tell somebody about it. You're like, well, it was this thing. And they're like, that's what you're bothered by? And they're thinking, that doesn't even, you know? But it is, right? It's some things that change, and, you know? And so God brings these things in our life so that we might, we can understand. And some things, and God's doing some trying of our faith. But we must realize that temptations also, we talked about this last week, the temptations are also a form of the trying of our faith. And so we looked at this in verse 12 and 13. We already read 12, let's do 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted. Sorry, this thing is just getting a little poppy on me. All right, there we go, sorry. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. So we know this, God does not ever tempt us to sin. So then where does that temptation to sin come from? Where's it come from? The guy with these two thumbs, right? Look at verse 14. He says there, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And Satan is the enticer. Right, he is the one that will entice us based on what's in there. So we find here that temptation to sin primarily comes from you. you're the problem in your own life, right? And I'm the problem in my life, and I've got to deal with that. But then we find here that it's from us. And so then we see the second thing we looked at there was the blessings in life in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is bringing us that which is profitable. He's bringing us the gift. There's a gift, a blessing in the trying of our faith. And it is what God is bringing us into and through so that we can know both. Watch this. We can know both ourselves and we can know Him. God wants you to know more about you. He already knows about you. Right? God knows you better than you think He knows you, and He knows you better than you know you. And what God wants to do is He wants you to help you to know you. And sometimes I don't like to know me. When it kind of gets, you know what I'm saying? When it kind of gets revealed, I'd rather I didn't know that about me. You know what I mean? I'm saying in the flesh. I mean, now in the spirit, God, I want to know that, because listen, we get to know ourselves better when we see how our faith begins to waver. And encourages us that, you know, I got some room to grow, right? And that's the thing that we see. And we see that, you know, wow, I thought I was pretty good in that area. And that's okay to say. I'm not talking about in a prideful way. I'm just thinking, you know, I felt like, and God says, well, let me show you, buddy. And He does, and you're like, woe is me, right? Woe is me. I'm done. Isaiah found himself in a really bad position when he was face to face with the Lord. Right. And so, but then also we also see God. And so it's not just about seeing us and where we fall short, but also about seeing God when we do endure the trial by faith. You see, hey, listen, you know, Christianity isn't just about us always failing. The Bible isn't about us always failing. Sometimes we also see ourselves when we come short, but we see God when by faith we trust Him. Right. You ever trusted God to do something? Amen. Yeah, I hope so. Right. So we watch God do something in our lives, and we trust Him. And maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's one of these trials, one of these situations. We trust Him, and so we see God. We endure by faith, and we see God takes us through. That's when the big trials get smaller. You say, well, I've seen God take me through that. I know He'll do it again. Right? So we learn to trust God, and so it becomes a little bit easier. Verse 18, he says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So God has brought us forth to life. He is the Father of lights. He's the creator of this world. And he's the creator of this world that we indwell. This isn't ours. Tis. This is my, what? Father's world, right? This is His world. This is His. Well, I don't think we have to do what God wants us to do. Well, it's His. Isn't that funny? I mean, not funny. I don't know what the right word is. It's strange. Maybe that's a better word. When people say, well, I don't think God ought to do this or that. Like, so? I mean, you know, the president of the United States doesn't really care what my opinion is on what we ought to do with the country either. By the way, there's probably a lot of things going on. I could probably help it. No, but I think that, right? Right? Listen, there's things going on. And listen, this is His world. We indwell it. It's His plan. We're His creation. So this is the kind of thing that we find ourselves in. And so we find this. And listen, He has so much for us. So much more than we could ever have for ourselves. So much more than what this world could ever provide. But here, the point is here. Is not to get so focused on the situation. I want us to grab this piece of thing. Stay with me for a moment with this thought. These trials, these challenges, these situations that come into our life. Okay. They're a vehicle. They're a vehicle for God to bring something in that'll try our faith. I'm telling you, y'all know what I'm saying is true. No, you never get as serious about praying as when you get sick. Right? Well, then, you never get as serious about praying until somebody in your family is hurting. Right? You want to get, now one thing is me being sick. You know, I'm sick. I mean, I like being sick. I'm a bad sick person. Right? I'm not, when I'm sick, I'm dying. You know what I mean? I'm just, I don't get sick very often. Praise the Lord for that. But I am not a good sick. Some people just endure it. And you wouldn't even know. I just thank the Lord. The Lord knows I'm weak in that. I just hate being sick. Anyway. But there's a difference between me being sick. There's one level of prayer. God, help me out of this thing. Help me to endure it. And then when a family member is, and I can't just suck it up for them, right? I'm telling you, God will, these things become vessels, right? These trials, these challenges become vessels to take us in there, a vehicle to try our faith. But don't focus on the situation, right? It's not the focus. The focus should be on the Lord who's giving the good and perfect gift. So I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is this. Do not despise the opening up of the present. Right? I talked about that last week. You ever had somebody wrap a present with duct tape? That's not nice. You know what I mean? Or box. We've had, you think, oh, this is funny. No, it's not funny. No, I don't like your gift. But I'm going to open it anyway. You know? And so there's this kind of thing. So we don't despise the gift, even if opening it up is difficult. Don't despise the process of God giving you what you need. Okay? We follow that? So what I'm saying is don't despise the situation God allowed you to be in when we realize God's doing something. So let's take, that's where we finished up last week. So all that was just to get started. Now, number two. Getting it the right way. So number one was the temptations of life, just so we're back together. Number two is getting it the right way. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we understand that God is the one who is allowing these trials to come into our lives for a purpose. So we also understand that the purpose of these trials is to bless us. All right? It's to bless us. The trials are the vehicle of the good and perfect gifts of God. But there is a condition to receiving this gift. There's a condition to receiving this gift. So we're not talking about, by the way, we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about the gift of salvation. That's not what we're talking about. Because we're talking about those that are trying their faith. They already have faith. Right? They're trying. You can't grow a faith that you don't have yet. You know, you add to your faith all these other things. And so this is something that, so there's a three-part message here that James has given us, and the Word of God has given us here, that gives us the condition to receiving this gift. Okay? By the way, not the condition for God giving the gift, but the condition for us receiving it. Okay? God wants to give us something whether we want to receive it or not. Right? You ever try to give somebody a gift, maybe like buy a meal for them or something? Do something for them? They're like, no. You're like, no, I want to do it. They're like, no. And there becomes this whole thing. You know, there's like the two no thing. Y'all know what I mean? No. And they're like, yeah, they mean, no. And like, all right. Listen, sometimes you want it to be a blessing to somebody. And they won't let you. And you're like, no. And you know, sometimes it's, we don't know who wants to bless each other. We're both trying. But what I'm saying is God wants to give us this thing. God wants to bless us. He is the Father of lights. He wants to give gifts. He wants to bring them down. He wants to give them to you. God wants to give you these things in your life to bring you, what? Closer to Him. I mean, well, you say, well, is this kind of a loaded thing? God's just giving me something so I'll love Him more? No, it's not. It's God wants to give you something so you can know Him more, so you can know you more. And God wants to give you something that's gonna make your life a better life worth living on this earth. God wants to do that. So, but there's a condition. There's a condition not for God to give it, but for us to receive it. Because God's trying to give us many, many things that we don't receive it. Right? So, there is a three-part message here. Number one, swift to hear. So, the idea here is to be quick to hear or to listen to what? The Word of God, right? We've got to be quick to do that. How about when a trial comes our way? The quickest thing that we do is to immediately go to the thought of, what's God doing right here in my life? What's God doing? So a trial comes, a situation comes, whether it's a sickness, whether it's whatever the thing is, a financial, a job, or whatever the situation that comes to us, right? We start by saying, start quick to get to right away, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm telling you, God, what are you doing? I want to hear from you, God. What are you doing in my life? I tell you, if we'll start there, it'll save us a lot of grief. But listen, if we're going to receive from His Word, we have to hear from Him. We have to hear from Him. But then the second thing is this. Slow to speak. Right? You know what it means to slow to speak? Listen, not much needs to be said about being slow to speak. But I'm going to say a lot about it. All right? Some of y'all get that later. All right. If we will be quick to turn to God, to receive what He is doing, then we'll be equally slow to turn to ourselves for the answer. We either look to Him, what God is trying to do, what's God bringing in my life, what's His purpose. By the way, I don't always know His purpose. Matter of fact, often I don't get to know His exact purpose. But I do know God's doing something, right? We believe that. We believe God's, if you're saved, those that are living according and called according to His will, right? God's bringing some, He's allowing these things in our life, that He's trying to do something in our life. So I'm going to say, God, what are you doing? Not how do I get out of that? I'm telling you, I think too often, all of us, me included, we quickly want to get out of the situation before we see what God's doing. And our first question is, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this trouble? By the way, that makes sense. That's logical. There's some trouble ahead. I see a traffic jam up ahead. I'm thinking about I hate waiting in traffic. I would rather drive longer than sit in traffic. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're like that. I'd rather drive and rather than sit there. And so we kind of do some of these things. And so we look at this situation. Now, sometimes our first thing is, how do I get out? I want to get out. But instead of what I'm saying to you, and I believe what James is saying, what we need to do is be quick to hear. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And slow to jump in myself. Slow to jump in and say, let me give the answer. Too often, we will not see what God is doing because we want to be our own problem solver. Right? So that takes us to the third thing. He says they're slow to wrath. Wow, that's kind of a strange thing. We're talking about the gift of God. We're talking about this joy of this thing coming in and perfecting us. We're talking about these trials that God didn't bring sin. He's bringing them. All of a sudden, we're here to this place of wrath. We're now in the place of sin. Right? So, slow to wrath. Listen, here's the thing. Usually, this comes when the first two are not done in order. So when I haven't considered what God is doing and I try to work my own way out of it, you see, I start there. This will often, undoubtedly, turn to our frustration. We get frustrated. You know why? Because I can't figure it out. Imagine trying to fix a problem that God allowed to come into your way. He brought that problem not for you to fix it, but He brought that problem to bring something, a trial in your life that you'll turn to trust Him. And all you want to do, instead of seeing that part, you just want to fix the problem. God said, you're missing it. You're missing it. This whole thing isn't about that problem for you to fix. As if God is sitting there thinking, and you say, God, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you, God. This problem came. I'm going to fix it. And God is up there thinking, thank you so much. I was in such a bind. Right? And now God is so helped. And so we kind of want to. And so what happens though, we're trying to fix this situation. We're trying to quickly get to our solution to get out of it, which is not what God's purpose was at all. And then we become frustrated when what we're trying to do doesn't work. Ever been frustrated in the midst of trials? Yeah. Frustrated. God, and then we start saying, God, what's wrong here? Isn't it funny? I don't know if you think it's funny. I think it's funny. Sometimes we get so mixed up on things that we miss what God is trying to do. So often it'll turn to frustration and ultimately can lead to anger. We can get mad about it. We can get mad at, don't get mad at us. We get mad at God and somebody else. Listen, if we're going to receive what God is trying to give us, must be done the right way. It's got to be done the right way. Ultimately, it's about us looking to Him and not within ourselves. So, looking for the solution to overcome this trying of our faith within us, we'll come up with an empty answer. So looking for the solution in us and our way, it's the opposite of an answer. Imagine this. It's looking for the gift in the wrapping paper trash on the floor. I don't know, at your house at Christmas time or something, and everybody's opening presents. And you know, I don't know if y'all do that. Anybody here like to open presents? Yeah. So you open the presents, and what do we do with it? Some people, they'll get that wrapping paper, and they'll fold it up, and they'll set it here. And not in my house. It's like, they ain't no reusing wrapping paper. You know, it's just ripping. And then you throw that over, rip the box open, and then you pull out whatever that thing was, right? And now here's this thing. So this situation of us looking for that answer within us, trying to find that thing, it's like God said that the wrapping paper and the box and all that, that was the vehicle I was bringing that present to you in, that gift. And yes, it is a trial, right? It is a challenge. It is something that says I've got to focus on it. But it's like opening that gift up, putting the gift over here, and looking through the trash on the floor trying to find the gift. What is God doing over here? And we're looking through the problem. Right? So in this illustration, the trying of our faith, the circumstances, the trials of our lives, that's the trash. Now, by the way, because I'm using that illustration, it's the trash, doesn't mean that it's always a bad thing. It's good that God allowed that to come. But let's not look to that. I hope you can get what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Is this thing of God brings stuff to our life, and if we focus that what is it's so hard on everything, we're going to be stuck because God's going to bring another one right down the road. You know, I mean, there's another one coming down the tracks. And we can get so focused on that, and then we kind of get a little depressed about that. What's God doing? And we get through this, gone, and then we didn't get what we're frustrated. And then the next one comes. Listen, God wants to keep growing you. So He's going to keep this situation going on. Looking there in that problem will only bring us to anger and frustration and wrath. Look at verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. This is a weird book. It's a strange book. It's a book that talks about how good the book is. The book, as we read through it, you know what we find? It tells us, if you're going to find an answer, it's in here. Amen. It tells us that a lot, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that a lot. As we find, we continually get to this point that he talks again about the answer is in the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It keeps pointing us back to the Word of God. And then you know what we want to do? We kind of want to put that thing back there somewhere and say, what am I going to do, God? Isn't that funny? How we human nature is funny. It's not a good funny, but kind of a strange funny. We want to say, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I got a solution for you, but you're going to have to be swift to hear. We're going to have to be, and the only way we're going to be swift to hear is when these things come to our life and we say, God, what are you doing? The joy isn't that my life is in turmoil. The joy isn't that I'm sick to my stomach about the anxiety about making this decision. This is so fun. I like being nauseated, right? This is great. It's not a joy waking up in the hospital, right? Nobody ever said, this is great. I was hoping I'd be here today. They have such great food. Said nobody, right? Nobody says that. And so the joy isn't what we find ourselves in. The joy is realizing God's doing something in my life. Wow. God looked at you and said, I'm going to do something with your life. Isn't that exciting? Okay. I asked that in a question form, but it's a statement. It is exciting. God cares enough about you that He's going to focus on you, focus on your life, your situation. He's going to bring something to your life. It's going to put you in a little bit of a challenge. Now, God wants to do something in your life, and if we will get this thought right away, say, God, what are you doing with me here? I want to look to you. By the way, it may be a small thing, you know. God just said, you know, maybe laid on your heart something. You heard a missionary letter. You read about something. He said, you know, I'd like to give an extra $5 a week to missions. And you know, that means I'm not going to be able to get my Starbucks. I like Starbucks. So I don't know, can I do without Starbucks? And you're like, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But for some, I drink Starbucks, but I could go without it for months and I wouldn't miss it, you know. But for some people, it's like, this is my day, you know. And so all of a sudden, so it could be a small thing, that's a little altar in your life that says this little thing, or it could be something a little bit bigger. And God said, I want you know that neighbor that their dog always comes into your yard and leaves their stuff and they don't pick it up? That'll make you mad right there. You know what I mean? That'll help you to lose your testimony. You know, and God says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to just go out there every day and pick it up and throw it away and just say hi to that neighbor. You're like, anything but that, God. You know what I mean? You know, some things, it might be something else. And God said, I want you to do something. It's a small thing, really. And somebody say, really? You're just mad because you got to pick up some dog stuff? Yeah. Somebody else's dog. I put signs. I put a fence. They're jumping. You know what I'm saying? And God said, I just want to do a little. Sometimes it's a little thing. And God said, so what we start with, God, what are you trying to do in my life? I say, you're doing something, God. I want to trust you with that thing. What a. And He said, I got something for you that's better than dog poop. Right? Y'all see what I'm saying? God said, I've got something better for you than that, but you're going to have to go through that to get it. That's a terrible illustration, isn't it? But sometimes that's how it works. But listen, when we, in verse 20, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're never going to get there by being angry. Our nation is not in a wonderful place right now. Right? Being angry about it is not going to work the righteousness of God. Matter of fact, being angry at all these folks probably just can help us not to want to reach them. So I'm just using that illustration to say this. The wrath of man doesn't work. Well, it's righteous indignation. Is it though? I think righteous indignation is kind of reserved for God. I know sometimes we get annoyed, we get upset. Certainly, I'm not trying to say we ought not ever. Feelings come to us, but what God's trying to say, that's never going to get to righteousness through that avenue. Never going to get there. We'll not get to righteousness. We will not get that gift of God He's trying to give us. He's intending for us to receive. If we will get to that place of letting this thing get backwards and the wrath coming, and He says this, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Man, God even said that's filthy. It's really to the point it gets filthy when we. Imagine God wanting to give you a gift and a big old bowl and it's all wrapped up shiny and sweet and wonderful. God wanting to give that to you. Say, God, I don't want it. Can I just have the trash? Right? God, I don't really want your gift. God, there's a filthiness in that. God trying to give us something. There's a filthiness. And this really is talk about our attitude, that wrath. He said, lay apart that filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. God's good to us.
Amen.
God is good to us. And it's easy to preach about that, though, isn't it? It's easy to talk about God being good to us. But that goodness comes. God's good. It's not that God's goodness comes wrapped up in trouble, but growth does. You ever seen these bodybuilders that walk around and they can't put their arms down? They got so much. I used to be like that. Just kidding. You know these guys that just, you know, they're, you know, you look at some of those people, you're like, that guy doesn't go to the gym once a week. You know what I mean? To get there. And I'm not promoting that. I don't know why. Maybe I don't know why they do that, but you get there and you got to do a lot to get there. Do you know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of work. And I'm telling you, you see that you ever see some? I've seen people really working out hard. I've heard about it. No, but they're up. It doesn't look like fun. You know, their face is red and they put it down. They drop it down. I'm thinking that didn't look like fun. And they got to do that a lot. You see some of these athletes and the things that they do and what they got to take themselves through. You know, people that do some of these things, you got just a lot of work. Everything. I mean, listen, it's like life is kind of geared that way. It's going to cost us something to be good at that, right? It's almost as if the principles that God has given us, given in all areas, because He's the Creator, right? So he said, listen, if we're going to get this thing of God, let Him grow us spiritually. Grow us to the place that those challenges become less challenging. He says, it comes in a way that's a little bit challenging to receive. And really, I said all that, but the fact is it's not challenging. Because it's really just saying, God, this thing is here, I can't do it. It's almost like to roll over and say, God, I can't do it. I've got to trust you. Now it's going to be a lot. I'm not saying that we go through a trial and just we never get upset stomach. We just need to suck it up and pray. That's not real good counsel. I'm just telling you, that's tough. You know, instead, here's the counsel I want to say. It's just this. We grow by getting God's worldview of what He's doing. And trusting Him for it. God, I know you're doing something. You brought this to my life. And I want to let you have control of this thing. I'm going to trust you in it. Right? I'm sure many here in this building this morning have testimonies of that. Right? Listen, God brought me to this thing. I trusted Him. Right? We live for Him. Let's close. I just want to end with this thought, and we'll close for this lesson. I was talking to a lady. There was a lady in our church that had been, she'd been in the hospital really ever since we'd got to the church. And I finally went to, she'd go in and out of the hospital. Now she never came to church. She had some years back, and she was there. And I was in there in the hospital visiting her. And she said, I don't know what guy's doing this. I'd never met her, but I didn't know anything about her. But she had just this pleasant demeanor. We said, I don't know why God's, why doesn't he just take me home? And she just so sweet. And the nurse would come in and said, hey, how you doing? She was just, and I thought, well, I know. Right? I mean, there's a testimony with these people. I went and visited another lady in the hospital, disconnected, and she's just bitter and angry at God and the world. And why is this? And I thought, you know, here's the thing, folks. If we're saved, right, this is going to come to pass, right? Either I'm going to get over it, I'm going to be with the Lord, right? That's the two options, right? Eventually, it's either going to be cured, healed, and I'll be better, or it'll endure, and then I'm going to be with the Lord. Either way, it's going to come to pass. And I always think about this. God brings this situation in my life, and I'm here with it, and it's here. It's here. So one day I'm going to be over here, right? Maybe I'm going to get through that, and I'm going to have an opportunity to either say, I was trusting God through that, and look what God did. Or, it was a miserable, miserable point in my life. Glad I made it through. And God says, well, I might have to try something else. God wants to give gifts. Let's just look to Him, not to the trial. Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to trust You, Lord, which is really, Lord, a lot more to live than it is to just speak about. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us here this morning, that we might be reminded to look towards You when these trials come, that we might consider consider that You're doing something. We trust You. Lord, help us now, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.